As many of you know, I go to King's Dominion quite a bit, either with the 8th grade or with the youth group, or with the altar servers. And I spent my teenage years going to King's Dominion as well because I grew up for most of my teen years in Fredericksburg, and that's what everybody does. So I could give tours of the place. But it wasn't always that way, because when I was a kid, a little kid, my family didn't really take vacations to Six Flags or Disney World. Instead, we were living in New England, and my parents would take us to Old Sturbridge Village, which, if you don't know what that is, it's sort of like the Williamsburg of New England. And there you could do a lot of fun activities. One of my favorites was pumping the water pump. You could learn how to knead bread. It was exciting. And to me, it seemed pretty fun at the time. I really didn't know any better. So one of the things that they had there was one of these big millstones that you sort of take in a circle and you would grind grain. It was one of the more exciting rides as well. And you would sort of put on a yoke or a harness and you'd go around and grind the grain. So this grinder had two yokes on it. And usually it was the kids who wanted to try it out. So you would get on one and you would go around. And I do remember at one point, though, there was this other kid that got on there with me. And he was about my age, but he was huge. I didn't have my growth spurt until later in life. So as a little kid, I was pretty average. And he's one of these kids that the first day of Little League, the parents see him and they complain to the league because they say that a high schooler snuck into the Little League program. And so we were just flying, and I was barely having to do any of the heavy lifting. And I don't know how much grain we sort of ground that day, but I think the price of bread in New England went down because we were on fire. So this idea of the yoke would have made a lot of sense to the Hebrews, and really everyone up until maybe 100 years ago, because you would take the yoke, and it was the mechanism by which you put it on the oxen, and they would pull farm equipment, or they would pull a grinding stone. And for the very poor, who couldn't afford oxen, they would actually harness it to themselves and pull the cart laden with goods, or pull the plow through the fields. So it was hard labor, and it was difficult. Nobody would ever think of a yoke as being easy or light. And yet, that's what our Lord is promising in this gospel. He's promising that His yoke is easy and His burden light. And He's offering it to all those who are labored and burdened. So what's He talking about? He's not talking about the yoke of Christianity making for an easy life. Because we know that Christ's life Himself was not easy. He was rejected by His friends. He was ridiculed, spat upon, and ultimately crucified. That's not a very easy life. His closest friends, the apostles, all, except for St. John, had martyrs' deaths. And even St. John was exiled and died alone. Even his blessed mother, who he loved most, had a very difficult life until the end of her life when she was assumed into heaven. So he's not promising an easy life. But what he is promising is that if we invite him into our difficulties, into our lives, that we won't have to pull the yoke of life by ourselves. That just like I had that oversized kid next to me at the grinding stone, Christ, who is infinite, who knows exactly how to help us through our darkest times, is going to put on the yoke with us. And he's going to carry our burdens together. So that's the promise. And why would he promise that? Well, I think it comes down to what he says about being meek and humble of heart. Because Christ is basically saying, I have a heart. It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus we're talking about, which is not a metaphor or an allegory for a heart, but an actual human heart. That Christ, when he was conceived in the incarnation, he received a human heart. And so it's a heart that feels with us, not some distant God. So when our heart is breaking, his heart breaks with us. When our heart is leaping for joy, his is too. So he intimately knows what it is we're experiencing. But he won't force us to let him into the yoke with him. We have to invite him in. That's why for some people, when they experience hardship, they might turn it on themselves and become bitter. But others, in their anguish, open themselves up to Christ. And he helps them to carry that burden, to make suffering meaningful and salvific, and to make death a passage from one life to eternal life. This is why this is one of the most popular gospels for funerals. Besides the fact that I always recommend it, it's one of those passages that tells people that they're not alone, that they have God on their side, who will walk with them and accompany them during this time of darkness so that they're able to transition into that time of light, that time when they will be face to face with the loved one who they mourn. Because Christ knows the mourning that takes place when we lose somebody. He wept at his friend Lazarus's death, even though he knew that he would see him again. He had that natural sorrow. And so he experiences that with us, knowing that eternal life is around the corner. So we have that choice. And how is it that we invite Jesus to carry that yoke with us? Well, again, the answer is with the Sacred Heart. Can we pray with the Sacred Heart, with an honesty and openness? Because Christ already knows what's going on in our lives. So there's no reason to sort of make nice words or say what we think God wants to hear. He knows what's on our hearts, and he wants us to be honest with him. And in doing that, we're allowing ourselves to be vulnerable to God so that he can heal us. So each day I would recommend that we pray with the Sacred Heart, that when we go to prayer, we think about the heart of Jesus beating for you and for I and me. Because if we do that, then we can really have that honesty. And that allows Christ to truly heal us. I think it's important to have that image of the Sacred Heart in each of our homes. When our Blessed Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, he asked that an image of the Sacred Heart be in every home. And that allows us to have a daily reminder of the God whose heart is truly in union with our own, if we allow it to be. So I encourage everyone to get one of those images, if they don't already have one, so they can gaze upon it. And if we do that, if we truly let Christ into our hearts, if we let his Sacred Heart beat in unison with ours, then we're not going to be carrying that yoke alone. We will carry it through the easy downhill times and those difficult uphill times that every one of us experiences. But if we turn out towards him and not in on ourselves, even the hardest road will become easier because we'll know the destination to be with our Lord forever in the kingdom of heaven.